Well, welcome back to our table here, ladies. We are in segment two. This is our Bible study. And today we've got a very, very exciting project. We're just kicking off in 1st and 2nd Peter. And with me is our teacher, Connie Sample. Connie, welcome back to the table. Glad to have you.
Thank you. And hello to everyone.
Well, we're going to do this a little bit differently. That many of our lessons, you'll have just the teacher talking and teaching, and then we read some scriptures. We thought what we'd try for this one is to have it a little bit more interactive and have a little bit more back and forth between Connie and I as we go and study this together in 1 Peter. So let us know how that goes. We'd love to hear from you, by the way, if you are doing these and you have any feedback for us. Just write to us at connect@naomistable.com. Well, Connie, I know you've taught on 1 Peter before. And usually what you like to do is help other women, equip them with some skills of their own in learning the Bible. How do you do that?
Well, really, truly, you know, when we come to the scripture, we need to, one, see what it says. And, you know, there's different methods of doing that. But really, when we're looking, we need to find out who's talking, where they are, just all the details. We need to know something really about the surrounding culture, because sometimes the context don't really make sense to us, you know, 1900 years later, 2500 years later, how many years. And so that's always a good thing. And there's Bible study helps. Also, when we're in scripture, it's often related to other places in scripture. And so most of our Bibles have those column notes in the center and little numbers or letters that refer us to other verses. It's always great to go and look at those other verses. And truly, when we go through a passage, bottom line is we're trying to find out what the Holy Spirit was saying through the writer of this passage to the people who originally read it. And then also, God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. And so there's a timeless message to each and every one of us. And so sometimes we have to dig just a little harder to pick out, okay, what is this message the Holy Spirit is communicating to all people of all times, which is really important. And then finally, the final step of really applying the Bible to our lives, because the goal is for it to change us.
Yes.
When we come to know God, it changes us, is really to apply it. And what would be an application for me, even from today's study, could be very different than what it would be for you, Amy, because your life is different. You know different people, and
yeah,
God might be calling you to do something very different than what he would ask me to do.
I find it so interesting that Peter was one of the most changed people I've ever seen in scripture. When he was with Jesus, the Savior, he was one way, and he made a lot of mistakes and a lot of misunderstandings of who Jesus is and who he said he was going to, what he said he was going to do. And then you look at these letters that we're about to study, and it's a changed man.
We see the Holy Spirit has made him into something he wasn't. And I do love Peter, because I love that we just see his faults.
Yeah.
And his, you know, he's impulsive and he blurts things out and he makes mistakes. And he just always does, he goes about things like a bull, I think. He just does it full speed. But the hope is God also is working in each one of our lives to change us like that.
Yes.
And if we look back on who we were and where God has brought us, we can say, I'm not the same. By the grace of God, I've been changed.
Oh, I look back sometimes, Connie, and I think, why did God, you know, choose me to work on? It's like a canvas, and it's amazing that this blank canvas from before is quite different today. And I am so humbled that only God could do something like that. And I know that there are probably people in my past who knew me then who don't know me anymore, who would probably say, what happened to her? And that's a good thing.
It is, but it's truly all that
yes.
grace of God. You know, just really as we're going to study these books of 1st and 2nd Peter, we are going to be looking at some books written to Christians who are now encountering more and more hostility from their culture, and
yeah.
they didn't fit in anymore, and the rub is really coming, so that they, you know, if they've had some difficulty where people are speaking badly of them, or they're not getting along with family or the synagogue, or the people who worship gods in different ways, really right now they're on the brink of some serious physical persecution.
Mm.
And so life is going to get more difficult for them.
Well, and I know tomorrow that we're going to be focusing on the man Peter,
mm-hmm.
who he was and how he changed specifically, what we can learn from him. I think today it would be great to just as an introduction talk about the times that they were living in. So why don't we start there and see if there are any parallels to perhaps some things that we're going through today.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And you, Amy, understand the times probably better than most of us. So
study them, but I tell you what, there are many, many things I don't know.
Great. Well, just going through the kind of an introduction to the book, we know that the author is Peter, and he claims to be Peter in the book. And I can say definitely as a Bible study teacher, I see similarities in this book to other writings attributed to Peter in Acts and then things he said in the Gospels. And so to me, Bible says it's Peter wrote it, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, we're going to talk more about Peter tomorrow, but Peter was given a new name by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And his given name was Simon or Simeon, as they said in Aramaic. But as soon as Jesus saw him, and this is in John chapter 1, and I'll read it in just a minute, Jesus looked at him and said, "You're going to be Peter." And Peter really means rock or stone.
Yes.
And then later on in the Gospels, we'll find out why Jesus renamed him Peter. Also, just for, as a sidelight for anyone who's reading through the Gospels, generally whenever this person, what we're talking about, Peter, is called Simon, it's when he's acting kind of like in a human way, and perhaps in the flesh, or being the impulsive impulsive man he was. And when he's called Peter, that's when he's more in the calling of being a full follower of Jesus Christ.
Interesting. Well, why don't we start with just reading a little bit of 1 Peter, just in the first couple of verses.
Mm-hmm.
It says this in chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 Peter, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood."
All right. Thank you, Amy. Here, if we look at the scripture, we'll see that it's the kind of the classic way of starting an epistle or letter. And so there's a greeting, and there's an identification of the person who's writing the letter. There's identification of the people who are receiving the letter. There is often a blessing associated with it. And then right after that, there's often a sense of thanksgiving to God the Father for these people that the person's writing to. What we're going to be focusing on today, again, is just the setting that this letter was written and what was going on in the world, and actually, why was Peter writing this letter? Why was it important?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to just explain a few things is we know that this letter was written sometime in AD 62 to 64, 65. They're not exactly sure. They didn't put dates on their letters like us, but this was during the reign of Nero. You remember Nero,
yes.
Amy? What can you tell our ladies about Nero?
Bad guy. he was the ruler who decided to burn down Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And what scholars believe I have read is that they used Christians, the early Christians, as sort of the scapegoat.
Mm-hmm. That's what history writes. And that event we know happened in AD 64, July of that year. And that's when Rome burned. And yes, Nero blamed the Christians. And so after that is when severe persecution broke out, first in Rome and then in other places throughout the Roman Empire. This letter is set someplace right in that time. We know also that this letter is written to believers. As Amy read, it's going to five different areas five provinces in what is Asia Minor. And we know that these are now places in northern Turkey. Interestingly enough, there's not much of a Christian presence in Turkey anymore because that is a mostly Muslim nation. And I do know that believers there are persecuted for their faith.
Mm.
We also, just another part, so we kind of pull together who wrote this letter. We know also that Silas or Silvanus was with Peter when he wrote this. And if we go to the end of the book, 1 Peter 5, verse 13, it says, "by Silvanus."
Mm.
And so obviously we know, it seems to be that one, he may be Silas, he may be the one who's going to be carrying this book to the churches, because that's how you delivered mail. You actually had sent someone with it, they brought it to you. And then the thought is probably, or possibly, he may also have been a person who was Peter's scribe or secretary, and he wrote the book. And it actually is written in very well-written Greek. And so it's possible that Silas might have cleaned up Peter's grammar a little bit if he had a little trouble that way. But we also know that Peter is a powerful preacher. If we look at the Acts, we find he's giving great sermons with great effect, and thousands of people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The other thing, the hint we find from the book is that at the end of the book, again, in First Peter 5, we find out that it says from Babylon. And we don't know for sure. It's possible that Peter was actually in what was a physical Babylon, a place called that of the day. But most scholars really feel that probably it was from Rome, and that Babylon would have been a code name for Rome because, again, of the persecution. Peter may not wanted to have identified himself or others as being in that place, again, if persecution had broken out against them. And then just another idea to remember is that Babylon is really the place of sin, of immorality, and idolatry. And that's how it's been throughout the Bible.
It's interesting, as I was reading this last night to prepare for our Bible lesson, I noticed that he ends it not only with Sylvanus, but she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings. So I'm wondering, too, who she is.
Well, my best understanding would be she is the church, the believers in Babylon, which may be the believers in Rome, who at this time probably don't want to be identified or found.
That could be. So safety was in place even then.
They needed to be wise.
Yes. Very good. And so what I'm seeing a lot of in 1 Peter that he talks about, kind of an overarching theme, is going to be persecution and suffering and how to do that.
Right. As we consider what we know in Scripture, in the New Testament especially, Jesus promised us persecution. We know in the Beatitudes, he said that you're blessed if you're persecuted. In the last speeches with the disciples there in the upper room before his crucifixion, he told them that they would have trouble in the world and tribulation, but he told them, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a promise. It's also present throughout the Gospels. If we looked at 1 and 2 Timothy and Hebrews, it talks about persecution also.
It does indeed, and I have a feeling that he's got some other messages besides just how to suffer well, that there are some underlying reasons that he wrote this letter.
Oh, definitely. He really wanted to encourage the believers and prepare them for this, and actually to share hope, because that's, if you are in Christ, whatever happens to you in this life, it can hurt a lot, but it doesn't affect your eternity. Mm. And if we're in Christ, we've been born again, we actually have the joy of the Lord. And so whatever happens to us, we never go through it alone. He's always with us. And Peter's going to be reminding them again and again of Jesus Christ and his suffering and how he's with them in their suffering.
Oh, amen. All right, ladies, well, we will have today's study guide at our usual place, the Bible Study tab at naomistable.com. And Connie, thank you for being here with us at the table today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Well, we'll be right back, ladies. Nancy and I are going to be talking about this a little bit more. Stick around. We'll be right back.